Good morning, and welcome to the Wednesday, January 7th, 2026 edition of Southern Champaign County Today. My name is Lori Talkington for the Illinois Radio Reader, and today's date is Thursday, January 8th, 2026. Today's paper is filled with all kinds of news about upcoming activities and a little bit of the holiday wrap-up. Our front page today features upcoming Catholic Schools Week, a pancake and sausage breakfast, a daddy-daughter dance, a bingo evening, and more. This article by Diane Ducey. Sunday, January 18th, St. Thomas School in Philo will host their 59th annual pancake and sausage breakfast from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. In the past, close to 1,100 people have been served with sausage pancakes with actual packages of sausages available to buy for people on their way out, supplied by the Allen Meats Company from Homer. Tracy Kane, a secretary at St. Thomas School, is grateful to all the volunteers and donors who contribute to the successful fundraiser. Suggested donations are $12 for adults, $10 for seniors, and $8 for children, plus various classes bring in homemade treats for the bake sale, a quilt is raffled off, and other games and contests are held to raise money. Next up will be Catholic Schools Week, the last week in January, starting on Sunday, January 18th. $25 raffle tickets, or six for $100, are available to win the top prize of $4,000, as well as the parent-teacher organization coordinating a dance, a Bible trivia game, and a special game of volleyball between the staff and eighth graders. These are just a few of the highlights that the Tigers are looking forward to. Collecting non-perishable food options for St. Patrick's Food Pantry and writing notes to community members are some of the services being done by students to help others. More details can be found at St. Thomas School's website, which is simply school.stthomasphilo.org. St. Thomas Philo is all one word, so it's school.stthomasphilo.org. The High School of St. Thomas More is hosting their annual post-prom fundraiser on Friday, February 13th from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. with their famous daddy-daughter dance. Getting tickets early is recommended for planners to get treats, have their selfie station, door prizes, and of course a variety of music from different genres for the fathers and their daughters to have a memorial date night together. Catholic Charities of Champaign and Piatt Counties will be doing a bingo night on Saturday, February 7th at the Elks Lodge at 903 North Dunlap in Savoy. It's behind Old Orchard Lanes. Doors open at 5 p.m. A soup supper is offered for a suggested $10 donation. There is a cash bar, and the 10 games start at 6 p.m. It's $30 for the 10 bingo cards. You can bring your own dauber or buy one for $5. There's auction items. Games such as heads or tails will be part of the fun experience as money is raised to help St. Patrick's Food Pantry, which is located at 304 East Vine Street in Tolono on Mondays from 5 to 6:30 p.m. and on Fridays from 9 till 10:30 a.m. The second Wednesday of the month is the St. Patrick's Senior Luncheon for people aged 55 or more. There's a $3 suggested donation at the door, and please bring a side dish to share. There will be the Light of Hope program that has helped people in our community get assistance one time with a bill, a rent, or other monetary concerns. For more information about all of these resources, feel free to email Diane Ducey, that's all one word, at yahoo.com. Let's jump right into our community news and notes, starting with the weekly newsletter from the Philo Library. And they begin, "We hope you had a safe and happy new year. As usual, we went to bed about an hour before the ball dropped in New York City. It's not that we don't look forward to a new year, especially after 2025, but I prefer a good night's rest to watching a glass ball slowly descend into a crowd of people whom I really don't know. I also don't do New Year's resolutions. Some time ago, I tried, and it lasted about a month before I realized that resolutions should start small, and if you succeed, next year you can increase them a little bit, and so on. I admire anyone who makes resolutions and sticks to them. You're to be congratulated. I sat down this morning to order some new books for the new year, but I've not succeeded in mastering the process, so please have patience, and in another week or so, hopefully, we'll be busy with boxes of new books and some very exciting announcements. In the meantime, if there is something you want or need, call or stop in, ask about it, and we'll help you get it. There's always the ebook possibility, depending on the popularity of what you're looking for, or there's also interlibrary loan. This is a good option, again, depending on the popularity of the book, but there are over 400 libraries to take into consideration when requesting something, so we might be able to get your material in just a day or two. The large print co-op books will be rotating this month, so we will have a new selection for you to choose from if you like reading large print. We have withdrawn some older books from the collections and replaced them with recently published new books or books that add to or complete a series. We should have the new collection on the shelf by Thursday. I'm not promising, but hoping to tell you that I succeeded with our book order by next week. Until then, as they always say, thank you for reading. Next up, we have news of the week from the Tolono Library. 2026 is in full swing here at the Tolono Public Library. We have a full calendar of events planned for January. On Thursday, January 8th, from 4 to 5 p.m., we'll have Youth Dungeons and Dragons. And from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m., we have Adult Dungeons and Dragons. Saturday, January 10th, from 10:30 to 12, we have the Youth Teen Puzzle Races. Kids will go head-to-head racing to finish similar puzzles. Ran in a round-robin tournament. Then, from 1 to 5 p.m., we have an all-ages jigsaw puzzle tournament. Participants will be divided into four groups. Each group will work on their own assigned 1,000-piece puzzle. First team to finish wins. Monday, January 12th, we have Teen Dungeons & Dragons from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. Join us next Wednesday, January 14th, from 3:30 to 5 p.m. for our Teen Free Make event. Various maker materials will be available for you to come and create to your heart's desire. We'll have a Cricut machine, perler beads, origami paper, a button maker, and much more. Teens are encouraged to come and have some fun using their imaginations. We have a lot more in store for January, so as always, please visit our Instagram and Facebook pages, plus our website, for all the details on upcoming events. It's going to be a great new year. Next up, we have the newsletter from The Giving Place. Watch Night is a Christian tradition, especially significant in Black churches, involving late-night New Year's Eve services to reflect, pray, and welcome the new year. Originating from enslaved people gathering on December 31st, 1862, to await the Emancipation Proclamation's effect on January 1st, 1863, making Watch Night a powerful symbol of hope, freedom, and perseverance. And here we go into the Giving Place's news section. It was a very slow day Wednesday. The Giving Place served one family with five people and two children. Food totaled $100 with two boxes at about $50 per box. I have a feeling the clients thought that we were closed for the holiday. We definitely were not. All the food we distribute is donated or purchased through cash donations from our very generous community. A belated thank you to Girl Scout Troop 2669 for a large donation of food that they collected themselves. The kids in our community are the best. Thanks to Linda, Carrie, Sharon, Ernie, Henry, Dale, and Mike for serving our clients on Wednesday night. Please feel free to visit any Wednesday and see all the blessings that are happening and maybe become a part of it. The Giving Place continues as a way for our church and other community churches to minister to the Unit 7 School District and help those in need. Now, coming up next, we have a report from Catholic Charities on their end-of-year activities in December 2025. This article by Jan Blaney. St. Pat's Pantry, located in the St. Patrick Parish Center at 304 East Vine Street in Tolono, was opened 10 times during December. 43 families were served 28 multiple times for a total of 116 visits to the pantry. There were 4 new families and 2 food deliveries. 25 Christmas dinner boxes were distributed on December 22nd. The pantry was able to provide Christmas gifts to 10 families. It should be noted that while SNAP benefits have resumed, many families were cut in the amount of support they received. Donations were received from the following families: the Bakers, Spencers, Stubers, Bleichners, Hubers, Keiths, DeFrancos, Kleisses, Ellers, Jenkins, Kaufmans, Hettingers, and Wilson. The Philo Exchange Bank of Philo, Dollar General stores, and several families provided Christmas gifts. Unity Boys basketball team delivered 245 pounds of food. The Unity High School FFA provided 25 hams for Christmas dinners. St. Patrick's Altar and Rosary Society provided toiletries and cleaning supplies. St. Thomas School provided handmade Christmas cards for the Christmas dinner boxes. St. Thomas parishioners provided non-perishable foods weekly. Dollar General stores in Philo, Tolono, and Villa Grove donated 417 pounds of food. Aldi of Savoy donated 185 pounds of food. Eastern Illinois Food Bank provided 3,393 pounds of food. Thanks to donations from St. Patrick's, St. Thomas, and St. Mary's churches, the cost of the Christmas dinner boxes this year was covered, and the pantry shelves have been kept stocked. The senior luncheon was held on December 10th at St. Patrick Parish Center with 32 guests in attendance, including 2 new guests. Christmas was the theme, and decorations were provided by the Blaney family. The potluck entree was ham, with many side dishes provided by guests. Memorials were displayed in honor of Roberta Bleichner, who passed away in November and had been very active in our senior luncheons since they began, and also to Bernie Eisenmeyer, who passed away during the spring, and he had served as our Santa Claus for years and years. Barry Leonard distributed gift bags to all and posed for pictures with guests as Santa Claus, of course. The next luncheon will be held on January 14th in the Parish Center. The theme will be the New Year, and the entree will be soup and sandwiches. Anyone age 55 and over is welcome, and please bring a dish to share. A $3 donation is requested, but not necessary. 18 volunteers provided 193 hours of service to the food pantry and luncheons. 2 volunteers are leaving for warmer climates and will return in the spring, and 2 new volunteers have been certified. Roberta Bleichner, the late Roberta Bleichner, who volunteered at both the pantry and the luncheon since they began, passed away on November 27th and was laid to rest on December 13th. She will be missed by all the volunteers, our pantry clients, and our senior luncheon guests. A huge thank you goes to the staff of St. Patrick's Parish. Father Pat O'Neill provides support and problem-solving for both the pantry and the luncheon. Becky Hand, Parish Secretary, manages the scheduling, financial contributions, and technical assistance for the pantry. Larry Hewing manages maintenance for the Parish Center. And the Stuber family provide housekeeping for both the pantry and the luncheon. It's been a very active season for the Catholic Charities. And now we take a look up at the night sky with David Leakey, who's retired director of the Starkle Planetarium at Parkland College. This article covers a period from January 7th to January 13th. He begins, "This weekend, the planet Jupiter reaches opposition. This means that Jupiter is opposite the sun, so it will rise in the northeast as the sun sets. It also means that Jupiter and our Earth are on the same side of the sun together, so the separation is at a minimum. Of course, anything that's close will appear large and bright. Those with binoculars should check out Jupiter. If you can hold them still enough, you may even glimpse the four large moons, Io, Europa, Ganymede, and Callisto, that surround Jupiter. Two of these moons are the size of our moon, and two rival the planet Mercury in diameter. And you can watch them change positions night to night as they orbit the planet. When I was growing up," he says, "Jupiter was known to have 12 moons. Today the number is 95. A telescope should show a few cloud bands across the planet. These are similar to the jet streams that we see on the weather maps on our local news. Also, look at the planet itself. Jupiter only requires 10 hours to rotate once, so it bulges at its equator. I guess that gives me something in common with Jupiter." We want to take a moment to offer congratulations to two local high achievers. First, we want to congratulate Eric Miebach from Philo, Illinois, who's been named to the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater Dean's List for the fall 2025 semester. And congratulations to Coach Brad Wilson, who marked his 100th win on January 3rd as coach of the Heritage High School girls basketball team, the Hawks. Big congratulations on this achievement for Coach Brad Wilson. Next, we have a very serious warning about the fact that respiratory illnesses are now very high. As of January 5th, 2026, the amount of acute respiratory illness causing people to seek health care is at a very high level for the first time already in the current 2025-26 season. Seasonal influenza activity is elevated and continues to increase across the country. RSV activity is elevated in many areas of the country, with emergency department visits and hospitalizations increasing, especially among children under 4 years of age. COVID-19 activity is currently low, but increasing nationally. Please seek health care promptly for testing if you have any risk factors for severe illness. Treatment may help lower your risk of severe illness. Next up, we have a lengthy article discussing the possibility of a graduated income tax in Illinois. And despite mounting budget pressure, the graduated income tax remains a political long shot. When a progressive Chicago alderperson scolded Governor J.B. Pritzker in November over his opposition to Mayor Brandon Johnson's failed proposal to tax large corporations at the rate of $21 per employee, Illinois' billionaire chief executive was quick with a retort defending his progressive bona fides. What we need is a progressive income tax, a graduated income tax in this state, Pritzker told Chicago Alderman Byron Cinco Lopez, a Democratic socialist who confronted him following a Veterans Day commemoration in Lit Village. You know that I've worked very hard to get that passed. Governor Pritzker poured $58 million into the 2020 campaign, advocating for a change in the state constitution to allow for an income tax structure that would charge higher rates for higher levels of income. For nearly six decades, Illinois had a flat income tax that charges one rate each for individuals and corporations, regardless of income levels. But Illinois voters ultimately rejected the proposal to change it, leaving the tax rate at 4.95% for individuals. It only received 46% support, far below the threshold needed to change the state constitution. In the years since that flameout, Governor Pritzker and Democrats who control the state legislature have mostly shied away from the cause, all while managing to balance the books under the existing tax structure, largely thanks to a strong economy and federal aid in the years after the pandemic. There are signs, however, that the state's chronic fiscal challenges are reemerging and likely to be exacerbated by federal policy changes enacted by the Trump administration. Despite this, it appears that the graduated income tax will also be off the table as a remedy, at least in 2026. Governor Pritzker, who put the fair tax at the center of his 2018 gubernatorial campaign and served as its chief champion during the failed 2020 referendum campaign, told reporters in November that putting the question on the ballot is not something that's been a priority for me going into the next session, he says. I think it's something that is being talked about by members of the General Assembly. We'll have to see if it gets proposed, Pritzker said, reiterating his belief that a graduated tax system is better than a flat tax system. Pritzker is running for re-election in 2026 and is widely viewed as a potential Democratic candidate for president in 2028. While Pritzker isn't putting it at the top of his agenda, some Democrats in the legislature would like to again place the graduated income tax question before the voters. State Senator Rob Martwick, D. Chicago, introduced legislation in both 2023 and 2025. The first attempt was a lone wolf effort that did not get called before the 2024 election. But Martwick has 17 co-sponsors on his current resolution, and similar legislation in the House, filed by State Representative Abdel Nasser Rashid, D. Bridgeview, has more than two dozen co-sponsors. Then-State Representative Rat Martwick, who now serves in the Illinois Senate, speaks in favor of a graduated income tax constitutional amendment on the floor of the Illinois House in May 2019. The deadline for lawmakers to pass a resolution to place on an amendment on the 2026 ballot is May 3rd. I feel like there is this huge appetite for some sort of restructuring of our tax system to make it less regressive and to provide relief to middle and working class people, Martwick told Capital News Illinois. Republicans and the state's business community have long opposed the idea. The 2020 initiative was in part torpedoed by a relentless $60 million ad campaign that was mostly funded by billionaire individual Ken Griffin, who happens to be the state's wealthiest resident at the time. From a policy perspective, a graduated income tax structure is one of the easiest ways to rectify the state's chronic structural budget deficit, while simultaneously shifting the tax burden to its wealthier residents, advocates say. Those points have been reinforced this year amid fallout from President Trump's One Big Beautiful Bill Act, which granted significant tax relief to the country's top earners while slashing social spending that states like Illinois have relied upon to balance their budgets both monetarily and in terms of fairness. According to the governor's budget office, the state is facing a $2.2 billion budget deficit next fiscal year, a number that could grow to more than $5 billion by 2031. The numbers are based on current law, meaning they assume no new spending or tax increases. Changes enacted in Trump's signature law, such as a requirement that states spend more on the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, that's SNAP. So it involves a requirement that the states spend more on the SNAP assistance program and face reductions to Medicaid, which could exacerbate the state's fiscal issues. When the graduated tax amendment failed in 2020, Governor Pritzker lashed out at Republicans and the business community, declaring that state tax policy at a crossroads and warning that there will be cuts and they will be painful. But with boosts from federal stimulus funds and increased receipts spurred by post-pandemic economic activity, Pritzker and state lawmakers have been able to enact balanced budgets in all but one of his 7 years in office, with COVID-19 impacted 2020 as the outlier. And the state has paid off a backlog of bills that had ballooned to more than $16 billion during the height of a state budget impasse 10 years ago. But that boon is over. The past 2 years, lawmakers have had to enact a series of tax hikes and other revenue enhancements to keep the budget balanced. "The party's over," said Ralph Martier, the executive director of the Center of Budget and Tax Accountabilities, according to the Capital News Illinois. "And the party's over because Illinois' long-term structural problems in their fiscal policy have never been resolved. So the state's tax policy does not work in a modern economy." Martier's organization has long advocated for restructuring the state's tax policy, including broadening the sales tax base to include services like haircuts and lawn care. It has also advocated for a graduated income tax structure. He argues that it is simple math. The state needs to capture revenue in growth areas, and in the decades since Illinois enacted a state income tax, income has increased most among the state's wealthiest residents. "That's the textbook way," Martier said. "The ideal thing to do would be to amend the Constitution to permit a graduated rate structure. But what you also don't want to do, because there's been some advocates for this, is put that rate structure in your Constitution." Another proposed amendment, being floated by former Democratic Governor Pat Quinn, would place a 3% surcharge on income over $1 million. The tax would raise an estimated $4.5 billion and be set aside for property tax relief. Quinn's effort comes after 61% of Illinois voters signaled their support for the idea when asked in an advisory referendum question on the 2024 ballot. "We have an upside-down tax code right now," Quinn told reporters in November. "We give all kinds of tax breaks to millionaires, and we have higher property tax bills for everyday people. And that's not the way you go if you want to have a fair society that emphasizes home ownership and affordability and emphasizes the proper way to fund education." Quinn's populist approach to policymaking has not always been warmly received by state lawmakers, but he insisted that his idea can pass, as it's a little easier to understand the millionaire amendment when the question was put on the ballot in 2020. Like the graduated plans already proposed, Quinn's plan would have to receive 3/5 support in the legislature to get onto the 2026 ballot. This concludes our reading of the Wednesday, January 7th edition of Southern Champaign County Today. My name is Lori Talkington for the Illinois Radio Reader, and I invite you to join us again next week.